You just mentioned Creatures of Fairy.
I mentioned Creatures of Fairy.
I'm glad you did, because I think I have yet to quite fully understand what that means. As we think of fairies, mm-hmm. we think of them as like little sprites or little pixies or elves or, Tinkerbell.
Yeah, people think of Tinkerbell, or if they've read way too much modern fantasy fiction, they think of the elf characters out of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings.
Right, but I mean...
book version or the movie version, either way. I use the term creatures of fairy in the book purely because I was trying to break out of exactly that literary model of, these little fluttery butterfly wing things. The one thing we know, again, from traditional folklore is that that's not what they are. What are they? Ultimately, we don't have the least idea.
But you differentiate that, though, so you have to have some mm-hmm. baseline, to measure against, and especially like the illustration that's in the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks like a Olympic gymnast or something, the fairy, it doesn't look like what I'd expect a fairy to look like.
He's not exactly what I drew either.
Okay.
The artist took a few liberties. Great artwork, but yeah.
Okay, that's not exactly the... But what does it mean, creatures of fairy? Because even just that structure where we're talking about a prepositional phrase now, of fairy, what does that mean?
Well, basically, if you go back into the origins of the word fairy as a place entered the English language first. Okay, the first references to that, I think the Oxford English Dictionary quotes, it's some Middle English poem, as describing some young knight looking like this marvelous being, and as if he were of fairy, as if he had come from this place, fairy, the place where elves are, or something like that. There's been this idea for a very long time that there's another realm of beings very close to ours, very close to us. These beings are able to interpenetrate into our world and have effects on it, but they don't actually belong to this world. That belief has taken many different forms. But in very many cultures, there's the notion that, there are these magical entities, these beings with strange powers over the mind, who lived just on the other side of some kind of barrier or veil.
Well, that sounds a lot like a demon.
It does, except demons are out to get you.
Okay. Well, that's good to confirm. So that's one thing on which all of our religious traditions can agree that.
All of our religious traditions, pretty well, you do get a few people in some of the fuzzier end of the New Age community who believe that if something doesn't have a body, it must be well-intentioned. But any tradition that's been around for a while knows better. There are, non-physical entities are like people. There are some who you can trust. There are some who you can't. There are some who will whip out a lead pipe and bop you over the head with it if you turn your back.
And that's what you would put demons in that category?
I use the category demons in the book for those non-physical entities who were never human. So they're spirits in the term that I've used, who are predatory, who are destructive, who do nasty things to people if they have the chance.
And what is their origin? I mean, I understand their origin in a Judeo-Christian context.
Well, there's the Judeo-Christian myth. But, my own guess, based on the reading literature that I've done, is that, first of all, we don't actually know.
Okay.
I mean, coming up with a story is very comforting, but in so many places we don't know. Most occult traditions recognize that the universe is full of many, many, many different kinds of intelligent entity. Countless different varieties of entity. One of the strangest stories, and one that I think has something to offer, is the tradition out of the Kabbalah, which is that the demons, the klipoth in Kabbalistic literature, are actually entities that have survived from a universe that ceased to exist before our universe was created.
Hmm.
They're the
ghostly remnants of a previous
leftovers,
universe.
Almost the garbage. Those entities who didn't join that evolutionary current, who didn't go on to whatever destiny awaited the beings of that, but hung out in the darkness.
Well, that almost sounds like it would tie into UFOs or something.
Well, actually, creatures of fairy do.
How does that work?
It's a good question. As with most things about fairy, the three words, we don't know, are the first thing that everybody has to admit. But if you actually look at old fairy lore, get rid of the literary stuff, go back to actual experiences, you find a lot of people describing a very distinctive kind of entity, which I will describe to you. They're maybe 3 feet tall, somewhere around that. They have very spindly bodies and long fingers and large bulbous heads and big eyes, and they have all kinds of strange powers over human minds. And time does funny things around them. We all know, like, the Rip Van Winkle story of the guy who falls asleep and wakes up 100 years later.
Sure.
Or the person who gets taken to fairy and spends 30 years there and comes back and it's the same night that he left. Okay? Missing time happens all the time in the old fairy stories.
Right.
And the old fairies even have that same obsession with human reproduction you get in modern abduction stories.
Hmm.
Think of changelings, children who were taken away by the fairy.
Right.
And this kind of stuff. So, in fact, the Greys of modern UFO legend, if I may use that term, I'm not saying that these things aren't experienced, but, you know, the Greys have developed a whole literature and a whole, almost a mythology around them at this point. Those Greys are effectively identical to the fairies of old legend. Now, this isn't a new discovery. Jacques Vallée, the very great UFO researcher, the guy on whom the French researcher in Close Encounters the Third
right.
Time was modeled.
Mm-hmm.
He's been saying this since the 1970s. John Keel, author of the Mothman Chronicles,
mm-hmm.
he's been on top of this also again since the 1970s. It's old hat, but people are very focused on what Keel calls the hardware hypothesis, the idea that UFOs are spacecraft from another planet. But when you go back, when you do some digging, you find that fairies always seem to take their appearance from our imaginations.
Well, you're the artist rendering then of creatures of fairy, you could say, in your book, looks more like a gray.
It looks a little like a gray, doesn't it? Well,
yeah.
They did get that right.
Oh, that's interesting.
They can play games with our minds. All the folklore makes it clear. And so whatever we think we're perceiving, it's not the reality.